That sounds so good. That sounds so good. And this is Hassan. And I'm officially on the air for 6 p.m. news on Friday. Kill Radio. Hope this is coming out all right, because there's a fucking problem with the headphone here. Excuse my French. So what we're going to do, this is the Spinners in the background. L.A.'s own Spinners in South Central L.A. No, not the Spinners. This isn't the Spinners. This is not the Spinners. This is, it's a group from South Central L.A. and they were really popular. I just can't think of their name right now. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to go into Kill Radio is privy to have a very secret telephone call between MTV and Air America. So what we're going to do, we're going to go into that phone call right now. It's about the big Nine Inch Nails debacle. And then after that, what are we going to do after that? We're going to go into the interview with Eastside Los Angeles artist, Venzuela Cara. So let me see if I can get this interview with MTV. Let me see if I can get this wired up here. Hold on. Here we go.
How did you get this number? Pardon me?
We have a wonderful producer here, Linda, who, by the way, if you were smart, you would grab her and put her on your network. She is so fierce. She is our pit bull producer-trix. She is a programming dominatrix. She is not only the Buddhist sex kitten, but she also happens to...
I'm sure Bruce is really interested, but...
Well, I know. I was going to leave the last part out because I really don't know, frankly. I'm gay. What do I know? So, Bruce, answer the quick question here. Just today, Nine Inch Nails drops out of the MTV Movie Awards after clashing with your network over the band using an image of President Bush as their backdrop. Why is that so objectionable?
This is purely their decision. The band made the decision to pull out. We don't have any say in this, and I don't really have any position on this one, particularly.
Well, maybe doggy style, if you ask me. Band member Reznor says the image was straightforward. The Bush image was to accompany their hit single, The Hand That Feeds. The song criticizes the Iraqi war. They had an actual platform with which to do this, and they did not suddenly on their own decide that it might be, a little strenuous, or maybe the plane flight, they didn't want to eat, like bad crackers on Southwest, so they canceled. You actually made the decision on behalf, by the way, of the humans on this planet, so that we would not hear their message. Please explain why we should keep watching your network.
Well, let's just put it this way. We had a conflict of interest, and of course MTV does a number of family-friendly programs.
Really?
Well, we try to be a family-friendly organization.
Well, you know, you're right. And the best way to take care of a family is to kill some of the members. Like send them off to a war, isn't it?
I don't think we really have any kind of position on that.
Except doggy style again. Now, the band's lyrics include, "The whole crusade's a charade. Behind it all, there's a price to be paid." We're going to play that song soon because we know it will thrill you wildly. But please, tell us, what is your marriage with the Bush administration? What's the...
Bush administration?
I'm sorry, did I say that?
You said Bush administration.
I think that using the term marriage at this point, we did try to do some things earlier during the previous election, but after this mandate from our illustrious, President Bush... obviously winning this round with such a resounding mandate from American voters that we have to stand up for something more like they might believe in Crawford. Something programming that would be Crawford-friendly.
Okay. So here's the big question, Bruce Kincaid, Mr. MTV, okay? Please tell us, is a picture of George Bush more offensive than Janet Jackson's boob? Goodbye.
This just in.
Edge on LA's progressive talk, KTLK, AM 1150.
The Nine Inch Nails.
I'll let my guests say what this location used to be on this 2 days before Christmas, 2004.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it is 2 days before Christmas on 2004. Shortly to be 2005. Right, that's right, yes. This used to be the location of a very popular cafe, one of the only or few boho cafes that I used to frequently, called the Onyx Cafe, and I was definitely a member of the Onyx Committee. All right. Yeah.
You can. Okay, let me tell the world who we're listening, talking to. We're talking to Venezuela Cara, again at Figueroa Cafe here in Los Angeles. Very beautiful establishment. And Venezuela, I've been seeing you for the past week or two popping your head in different galleries. I guess you got a show coming up somewhere, or?
Yeah, somewhere, you know, over there, somewhere beyond the stars, somewhere over the Milky Way. Yes, I've got a show. You can also check my shit out at Ghetto Gloss. I do have shit out at Ghetto Gloss. I am a member also of the Ghetto Gloss Committee. Yes, you can look.
What is Ghetto Gloss?
Ghetto Gloss is an art gallery, a gallery and a rental gallery. Just check out the website, www.ghettogloss.com. It's over there in Glendale. I don't know the exact address, but if you check out the website, you will be able to get the address.
Okay, before the interview goes over, we're going to have you repeat that website again. You can always tell Venzula's stuff because he has the little man with the helicopters. Actually, I told a friend that I knew you once, and they said, oh, he's the artist that has the little man with the helicopters. Elaborate on that.
Well, yes, that is one of my themes. Yes, I do draw the little man in the helicopter. And what that's really about is to try to let people know what the helicopter does. The helicopter does a lot of things. You know, it's up there flying in the sky. It's monitoring the situation for very reason.
But you draw black helicopters.
Well, I do other colors sometimes also.
But, I mean, you know, the whole thing with the CIA and the black helicopters, no pilot, going over South Central at 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely witnessed that myself, and that is also part of my intent for drawing helicopters, is to make you conscious of what's riding and what's flying and what's up there in the space up there above your heads. You should be.
Actually, to tell you the truth, you and another local L.A. artist are the only two people who, I guess, were inspired from your youth in L.A. with helicopters to put them in your art, like John Singleton. He puts helicopters in all of his films because he said as a kid in South Central, that's all he heard were helicopters. It was a part of his life.
His films, he should buy one of my paintings. That's what he should do. You know, I have to contact that bruh. He should buy one of my paintings, and you know, for an exorbitant amount of money. And I'll put it to a good cause.
Okay, but you still haven't told us what the little man means next to the helicopters.
Little man, oh, well, sometimes the little man is just a symbol of us. The people here, the helicopters usually flying over the man, it's a symbol. People, the man is a person, people, image, and the helicopter is what it is. And I'm just saying, look, people, there's a helicopter over your head. He's a representation of us, basically. Sometimes there's a man and a woman, and sometimes they're in various activities, but that's the basic symbol.
This is great. I've always been trying to find out what was the theme behind the little man in the helicopters. Is he straight or gay? Or, I mean, where is he coming from? Was he born in Quebec, Canada? Or?
Well, you know, I really haven't asked him about his preference of gender. I have to ask him, I suppose. But really, it's not about that. It's about the symbol of a person. Now, sometimes I've had couples kissing on a couch, and you'll see a helicopter, like surrealism, fly over their heads. I did a print like that. But still, the main message is whatever we're doing, there's a helicopter. It's a matter of voyeurism. It's part voyeurism and monitoring that helicopter in a lot of my scenes.
No, seriously, you are known kind of in some circles as a helicopter guy. This one guy told me, oh yeah, I know Venzilla. He draws the helicopters. You know.
I even make baseball hats with a helicopter on. This is a helicopter in L.A. As a matter of fact, you can pick them up at Pull My Daisies or 33 and a Third Bookstore sells my helicopter hats, and it's the same continuation from my paintings.
Okay, and because this is an international station, 33 and a Third, and could you tell us where they're at in the world, like Echo Park, L.A.?
33 and a Third is on basically Alvarado and Sunset, and Pull My Daisy is in Silver Lake there, right in downtown Silver Lake, in between a pawn shop and the Casbah.
And this is in Los Angeles?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, indeed.
Oh, who were some of your inspirations as a kid, Venzula? Who to make you draw, man? Because you're a fairly young cat now. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm a teenager. You know how it is. I was inspired by God. God's my main inspiration. I looked around the planet, and I said, God really does some fantastic art. Maybe one day I'll be able to do just what a tenth of what God can do. See? So really, God is my inspiration. Now, I used to do a lot of collages. When I did collages, one of my main inspiration was, and still is, but when I do collages especially, is Romare Bearden. But really, God is my main inspiration because God does it the best.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that much about Romare Bearden. I know they just had a show up in San Francisco about him. But to tell you the truth, another person another artist who...
Can we curse on your show?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. This is internet radio.
Oh, internet. Okay. Because I just wanted to know if I could say motherfucker. But I didn't want to say motherfucker if it was going to be, like, banned. Bang. To that bang.
No, anyway, and to tell you the truth, Venezuela, when I saw the film Basquiat, that's when I kind of understood what you were doing too. And I understand that
Basquiat.
Tell us a little bit about how you and him kind of do the same things. I know in separate realms, separate worlds, but when I saw that film, because they had some of the original paintings in the film, then I realized what you were doing too.
It's when I first heard about Basquiat. I guess Basquiat was in his early 20s, and I saw his work, and I always felt that we were kindred spirits, so I wanted to meet him. I felt we were doing similar things. I'm older than what he would be now if he was still living. I met him several times because he used to come to Power Tools. He was in the Gagosian Gallery when Gagosian had a space on, what was that, Melrose and, I don't know, like North Lapeer or somewhere up there. And I've talked to him a few times about his work, you know. So I just thought we were kindred spirits.
Well, I don't know how you'll take this, but actually I see a small similarity between his characters and yours.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I always felt we were kindred spirits. But like I say, I'm older than him, and some of the stuff I was doing before he was, actually.
Well, Venezuela, I mean...
Similarity. We do it.
I've known you for a while, and I know you're a really spiritual cat. Do you think that when he left the planet, some of that energy came into you? I mean, you're supposed to continue what he's doing?
Well, I don't know, because I just think what I was trying to say, I think we were already on a similar path. So I think we had a similar energy. I just think because he was in New York, he definitely had a better chance of getting known than I did here in Sleepy Town, L.A., La La Land, as they say, you know. So he got the more PR, but that's okay, because I'm still here now, and I'm talking more shit than I ever talked before. And I want you all to come hear about it. Come see me. Come listen to me. I got a lot of shit to say. Shit, I talk more shit than Tina heard from Mike. Okay, you got that? Copy that. Ditto.
And again, we're talking to Venezuela here in Los Angeles, the artist known as Venezuela, who draws the black helicopters.
And other colors, too. Yes, yeah, yeah. It's mainly black, but I do other colors.
Where were you born at, Venezuela?
You know, me and Sun Ra have something similar. I was born on Saturn with Sun Ra. And I heard when I was on Saturn as a little child that Sun Ra was from me. And I was like, dig, that's good. Shit. Sun Ra's from Saturn? Shit, I'm from Saturn, too. Shit. So there you go. You know, I'm born on, Sun Ra's from my hometown. All right, Sonny. I know you're doing good somewhere around the Milky Way.
Well, and again, I've listened to the orchestra, and I've heard you, because you do music, and I've noticed some of your riffs, some of their riffs and your riffs and some of both things. What's going on with your music these days?
Well, that's a good question. You know, what's going on with my music is I was spinning turntables and stuff, and I was doing a lot of experimental stuff, but unfortunately I got frustrated with that because there's no play for any creativity anymore in our society. We've got really commercial, and it's all about... The only art I say pretty much in America or Western culture is the art of making money. So it gets really difficult for a creative person like myself or anybody else like yourself to really push their creativity, because everybody just wants, they're just getting formula, like Tricky said, formula. It's all about formula. They're just trying to make some money. But what I've been trying to do with my music is go beyond music. I'm really not trying to play music, even though I do have some musicality in my stuff, but really I'm trying to go into what I call audio art.
Oh, tell me about that. Audio art.
Audio art doesn't have the parameters of what they call music. It doesn't have the parameters of melody, harmony, or necessarily rhythm. But I do like rhythm, and I do like melody and harmony, but it's not necessarily about harmony. It's about a sound that gets a message across. That's the boundaries. However I can do that, it's more about a sound that gets a message across to the audience. And that's why I call it audio art, because some of it may not necessarily be considered by the so-called intellects in academia as music. So I already told them. So they can intellect that. I already said it was audio art.
And so what are you pushing more, your music or your art?
Well, I'm pushing survival more than music art. and that sets it up all. That's a precedent. And then from there, it's a domino effect. You get it, you know? The survival first, you know. You know who's up there in the office. And these people are not really stressing the art as anything, but they're stressing stress, and that's all I'm getting. So it's about survival.
I'll let you take a sip of your beverage there. As we were walking up here, you were talking about, and I agree with you, how in the Echo Park section of Los Angeles where we live, there's a lot of galleries, but they can't make no money in those galleries. And I know, you know, artists got to be paid. I understand you're going, like, up the coast now doing some things that where there's money galleries where you can sell some of your stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to, seek new possibilities, but I basically think in our commercial capitalist, consumerist culture. You know, really, the only culture we have is pop culture. It's all about making something that is relates to a mass audience, some symbol that triggers something in the people's mind that gets them to want to be a part of it. And that's what I'm thinking about. It's all about pop culture. Elance. Yeah, that's what I'm...
Okay, which brings me to another question. Venezuela, this war, man, in Iraq, man, is that affecting your art? I mean, like, there's artists always around during every war. I mean, what's the guy that did the collages during World War II? Jackson Pollock was kind of inspired. No, I think he was around during the Korean War. I mean, I'm a playwright. I'm a playwright, and I'm writing about what's going on in this world right now. Is this affecting any of your art? I mean, how do you feel about what's going on in the world right now politically, and how's it affecting the black helicopters and the little man?
Well, you know, the black helicopter, the whirly bird, the ghetto bird, however you want to call it, is always a part of that, because it's a tool that definitely can be used in war, so it's a big part. They have helicopters with a sophisticated recording sound system that can pick up sounds from far away. They can be so many feet in the air and pick up conversations, right? And probably through walls. They have sophisticated boom, shotgun, boom mics that pick up. Of course, they have machine guns on helicopters, and they have all these sophisticated weaponry, you know, because of the sophistication of the, you know, chips, microchips, who knows, like nanochips, whatever, you know, biotech, this and that. Hey, are you going to come talk to me today? Huh? Yeah, so, yes. That's a
but you still didn't answer my question. What's going on in the world right now politically? I've never really known you to be too political an artist.
My politics aren't that blatant. It's a more simply as the selfish versus the unselfish. So basically, it's my politics, and I'm sure that covers the waterfront, as they say.
Covers the whole spectrum.
Yeah, the waterfront. Yeah. So, but I just think that. Obviously the systems on the planet aren't working.
We need Sun Ra.
Sun Ra said he was the way. We need to pay attention to what Sun Ra was saying. Some people think Sun Ra is something like chubby idiot up there saying this nonsense, but really, he knows he's a scholar. At minimum, a scholar. And maybe more than that.
Okay, I'm going to wind this interview down, but before I do, Venezuela, who are some young up-and-coming artists we should look out for? And, you know, and I want you to repeat that website again where people can get in touch with you to get your shit.
Well, unfortunately, at this particular time, I don't know any particular names of young artists that you specifically should look forward to, but I know there are art out there, and they have heart and perseverance, and they're seeking truth and beauty, and I hope they can hold on to those goals, because they will be tested, especially in these days. And the site where I'm showing my work at is www.ghettogloss.com, and there are several other artists too. My name, Venezuela Cara.
But I mean, and even when the show's over, if people wanted to reach you, they can still reach you at that website. Do you have an email or anything?
Yeah, what website is, you can, I'm always on that website, and there's various other artists. But right now, you can also contact me at my email, blackpasha@hotmail.com.
Spell that.
BlackPasha@hotmail.com, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Venezuela. Seriously, I've been trying to get this interview with you for literally years, bro.
Well, yeah.
And thanks for taking the time and sitting down with me, having a coffee.
Well, thank you. I just love, what do you say, a captive audience. And I love to talk shit. And matter of fact, you want to interview me again? I got some more shit to say on another day, okay? All right. Thank you very much.
And have a happy new year, bro.
All right. You too, everybody. Peace out.
Thanks, Venezuela.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
And let's see, are you guys there? Yeah, that was Los Angeles artist Venezuela Cara here on Kill Radio. As you could tell, that was an older interview. I did it right before the new year started. And again, this is the 6 p.m. news Friday. Oh, and we opened up the news today with the group The Whispers. There was a lot going on in the studio when I came in here today, and I had to jog my memory, but I shouldn't have because I love that group. They were from right here in Los Angeles, grew up in South Central Los Angeles, The Whispers. That was who I used to open the show up with. okay, and what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to do something I would never do on the Kill Radio News. I'm going to read from an article from the entertainment section of the Los Angeles Times. And the reason why, because there's an article that was in the entertainment section of the LA Times about 2 weeks ago on Warren Beatty. People said he might run against Schwarzenegger for governor. You know, but I don't want to see Beatty do that because he would be humiliated because he doesn't have the star power of Schwarzenegger. I mean, he would be a much better moral person to run. But, you know, like they said, a bunch of 18-year-old boys voted Schwarzenegger into office because that's who watches his movies. You know, I think people who are a little more sophisticated and cultured and intelligent watch Warren Beatty's movies. But what we're going to talk about is, like for instance, this film Bullworth. I had never saw a film like that before in my life. You know, it's basically, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's about a politician, a U.S. senator, who basically wakes up one morning and says he's going to tell the truth. Can you imagine that? What would happen if politicians on that level in this country, on the national level, started telling the truth or just started saying how they feel? You know? I mean, even look at a perfect example is look at this guy. He really admired that old Southern Republican, the guy who had to leave the Senate last year because he sympathized with the segregationist issue, and he just came out and said it. I mean, in a weird way, I guess you got to respect him for saying it, and he lost his job. But anyway, and I guess he should have lost his job. But anyway, again, this is Kill Radio. This is Hassan. This is the 6 p.m. news. And I'm going to read this article from the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, May 25th, 2005, written by a very good writer, a woman by the name of Rachel Abramowitz, Times staff writer. It's in the entertainment section of the Los Angeles Times. It's titled Bullworth Takes on the Terminator. I see nothing wrong with Maria Shriver becoming a Republican. I'd say many of my best friends are Republicans, says Warren Beatty, Oscar-winning actor, director, and liberal citizen activist over the phone. Over the phone, his legendary voice purrs. He knows exactly what he's saying. And although his tone is wry, he's not really joking. Though Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's poll numbers have been dropping thanks to advertising campaigns by teachers and nurses, Hollywood, usually a hotbed of liberal activism, has so far remained mum about this former denizen. In the last few months, Beatty, the star of and force behind such seminal films as Shampoo and Bonnie and Clyde, has become the first big name to break the entertainment community's unofficial speak no evil towards Schwarzenegger and his wife Shriver. Over the weekend, Beatty, 68, gave his first commencement speech ever to the graduating class of UC Berkeley's Goldman School of Public Policy and used the occasion to humorously but witheringly attack Schwarzenegger, much like the candid candidate J. Billington Bulworth from his 1998 political satire. He derided the governor for his reactionary right-wing agenda, his bullying of labor and the little guy, his plan to spend money on a totally unnecessary special election, and his refusal to raise taxes on the rich. Beatty asked Schwarzenegger to cut down the photo ops, the fake events, the fake issues, the fake crowds, the scapegoats, the language problems, the broken promises, the Minutemen, the provocations, and put some sunlight on some taxes. It's become time to define a Schwarzenegger Republican. A Schwarzenegger Republican is a Bush Republican who says he's a Schwarzenegger Republican, Beatty said. Can't we accept that devotion to the building of the body politic is more complex and a little more sensitive than devotion to bodybuilding, quote unquote? Again, quote unquote, does that make me a girly man? Asked one of the 20th century's most famous Lasseros. Beatty, a political veteran who's worked for every Democratic presidential candidate since Robert Kennedy in 68, dismissed Schwarzenegger's claims of uniting both sides as a political owl. By bipartisanship, do you mean the Kennedy family? He said to the Berkeley crowd. Governor, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Governor, you're no Kennedy Democrat. Within hours, Beatty, a blue chip Hollywood figure famous for 46 years, was swatted down by the Schwarzenegger team. The governor's communication director, Robert Stutzman, dismissed him as a crackpot. I don't think that's the most intelligent response for Arnold to have his people give. Beatty muses a couple of days later. Let me start that paragraph again. I don't think that's the most intelligent response for Arnold. I don't think that's the most intelligent response for Arnold to have his people give. Beatty muses a couple of days later. Though he seems jazzed by his return to the public policy limelight, I guess I needed to say some of those things. A spokesman for Shriver declined to comment about Beatty's recent remarks, and Schwarzenegger spokesman Vince Solidio said, his comments don't merit any more of a response than we provided before. We didn't believe that they're personal in nature. He added a refrain that the governor's office has tried to inject into the debate. Warren's just mad at Republicans because he's afraid they're going to cut off his Social Security. Beatty advised the Kerry campaign during the last election, but stayed in the background because, he says, I felt that the Republican campaign was too successfully demonizing the entertainment community. To be more publicly visible in that campaign could do as much harm as it would help. Of course, the stakes change when it's all Hollywood, mano mano. In California, it's much more difficult to demonize the entertainment community when the governor is an entertainer. If I'm leading the way on that, that's good, Beatty says. Indeed, this is the second anti-Schwarzenegger speech that Beatty has delivered in the last few months, and he's not rolling out more. In Hollywood, Beatty's the only one out there, says Andrew Spahn, a DreamWorks executive active in Democratic politics. He's been out front on this and helped to give voice to some disorganized feeling. Martin Kaplan, associate dean of the USC Annenberg School for Communications, notes, Schwarzenegger has a long personal history with so many players here. On balance, they'd rather be quiet than express publicity. On balance, they'd rather be quiet than express publicly their views that they disagree with him. He's a very congenial companion, so it's tougher to criticize someone that you have a relationship with than a politician you might not know. It's axiomatic that Hollywood is a relationship town. However, he adds, what Beatty's saying is something that people have been saying in private. He has nothing to lose. In same ways, he has at least the same kind of standing in this creative community that the governor does. Before Schwarzenegger's political ascension, he was regarded as a waning action star. Long on chutzpah and marketing might, Beatty's recent films might not have attracted the legions of teenage boys, but inside the community, he is still viewed as a brilliant A-list talent, part of the permanent aristocracy. Of course, power does change everything. At the Golden Globes this year, Schwarzenegger was the only person whose arrival in a room full of celebrities caused rubbernecking. Still, as it's been for decades, whenever Beatty talks, the media wonders if he's planning to run for public office. During his speech, Beatty said that Schwarzenegger knows I'm a private citizen, just as he was a year ago. I'm an opponent of his muscle-bound conservatism, with a longer experience in politics than he has, and, although I don't want to run for governor, I do one hell of a lot better job than he's done. A couple of days later, Beatty demurs and seems keen on simply being a truth teller. Although he does say, one never knows at what point one becomes sufficiently inflamed to take a step that one does not basically want to take. This is the last paragraph. One unusual feature of Beatty's address was his reference to his own relatively modest background. I grew up a nice Southern Baptist boy in Virginia. My parents and grandparents were teachers, he told the graduating class. It seemed a pointed reference to Schwarzenegger's frequent use of his rags-to-riches story as part of his campaign sell. Beatty explains that he was trying to make the point that the aspiration by the rapid right wing of the message of the church on a national or state level should be permitted. As a Democrat, I feel that the basic tenets of the Christian church that I grew up in are do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and love one another. I simply believe that the philosophy of the Democratic Party is closer to those Christian principles than what has become the principles of what I would call the Republican active base. And again, that was an article in the Los Angeles Times Entertainment section on Wednesday, May 25th, 2005, written by a very bright young lady named Rachel Abramowitz. She's a Times, LA Times staff writer. Good article, Rachel. And again, I wrote that because I guess Schwarzenegger is my governor, although I did not vote for him. I voted for Gray Davis, who was recalled. I think Schwarzenegger is a... I actually have some friends that voted for Schwarzenegger, and I just couldn't do it. I even told my friends who voted for him, it kind of felt like voting for a cartoon character. And again, I guess everybody across the country has heard about this special election that Schwarzenegger wants to do in a couple weeks or a couple months. Which to me, people, is just such a mean-spirited Republican thing to do. I'm not that savvy in politics in Sacramento, but I kind of think I've heard some people kind of break down one of the things he wants to do on this special election, what Schwarzenegger wants to do, and I'm surprised his wife, Maria Shriver, who I really believe has a lot of good humanitarian values, it's in her pedigree. I can't believe she's going to let him do this, but. Anyway, one of the things that Schwarzenegger wants to do is in this special election, because organized labor has come out so hard against Schwarzenegger, so hard against him. He wants to make it so before any organized labor money can be used, that said person in that union has to write a letter to the union saying that you can give my money to a certain political candidate. And Schwarzenegger wants to do that because he knows that organized labor is against him. So that's one of the things he wants to have on this special election, which is going to cost the taxpayers of California millions and millions of dollars. I have no idea why a special election should cost that much money. Again, I'm not that savvy in Sacramento nuts and bolts politics. But again, that was an article that I just read about Warren Beatty, who I love ever since I saw Bonnie and Clyde. There's a couple celebrities that were going to run against Schwarzenegger, but I doubt if they could win. The guy from All in the Family, who's the famous director now, Rob Reiner, he was supposed to run for governor. He passed some pretty successful propositions out here. But again, they see, it's really sad that Schwarzenegger won just because he's a well-known action figure. I'm not even going to call him an actor. I mean, that's my major in college was theater, and I don't even want to put Schwarzenegger in the same category as being called an actor. But he's an action figure. That's basically why he won the election. You know, I'm sure Rob Reiner or Warren Beatty would make so much of a better governor. You know, but anyway, thanks for sticking with me while I read that article. Hey, what's up, Jaime? Xenophone has just got off the elevator up here on the 25th floor of the Arco Towers, overlooking beautiful Los Angeles. And I think he's in the green room pulling out his show for today. And I wonder what type of hors d'oeuvres they have over there. I'll have to ask him when he gets into the studio. So what we're going to do, we're going to go back into a little R&B. And then Xenophone's going to come on. And you guys have a good weekend. And remember, I also do Straight Ahead on Monday nights. Monday nights, Tuesday morning. Straight Ahead Jazz. And we're archiving now. Kill Radio is finally archiving. You can archive this show. To get to our archive, go to radioforall.net. Okay, that's radio4all.net. www.radioforall.net. Just type in any of the shows. Like, to hear my jazz show, type in Straight Ahead. To hear the 6 p.m. news, type in Kill Radio News. And I do the 6 p.m. Friday news. A different person does the news every week at 6. We have a rotating schedule. I do it every Friday. So if you want to hear this show again, or if you want to show your friends how brilliant I am and play it again for them, you can go to Radio for All and replay it. Okay? So again, this is Hassan on the 6 p.m. Friday news, and I'll see you either this Monday night or next Friday. My good friend Curtis, have been covering the news for the past month. And we always get an education whenever Curtis is doing the news. He talks about things that, you know, you won't hear on other news. And we hope he comes back and does it again. If you're out there, Curtis, thanks so much for covering the news for me for that month. So let's get back into a little R&B here in Kill Radio Studios. And then we're gonna power up Xenophone. Let me see.
Do funny things if you want me to. I'm your puppet.
the